Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, May 14th, and coming up in today's episode, India blocks Chinese media accounts over Operation Sindoor posts and misinformation. BJP minister offers to apologize after terrorist sister remark, draw opposition ire. Justice B.R. Gawai sworn in as 52nd Chief Justice of India. And Volodymyr Zelensky reaffirms he wants to speak with Putin but doubts the Russian president would agree. India has blocked the ex, formerly Twitter, accounts of Chinese state-run media outlets Global Time and Xinhua News Agency, accusing them of spreading false information about the recent military operation Sindoor. The action comes after the Indian embassy in Beijing publicly criticized Global Times for its reporting on Operation Sindoor, India's response to Pahalgam terror attack, which killed 26 Indians in Baisaran Valley of Kashmir. After the operation, which successfully targeted 9 terror bases across the border in Pakistan in a precise military attack, there was an exchange of fire as Pakistan launched drones against India, lasting several days. It even killed dozens of Indian civilians in areas such as Poonch. However, there was also a flood of misinformation coming online from Pakistan and Pakistani supporting social media handles. In a post on X, the embassy said, and I quote, "Dear Global Time News, we would recommend you verify your facts and cross-examine your sources before pushing out this kind of disinformation," unquote. Apart from Chinese media outlets, it is also Turkish government-funded international news outlet called TRT World, which is not accessible by public in India as of now. The embassy also pointed out that several social media accounts supporting Pakistan were spreading unfounded claims about Indian army losses during the operation. It said that when media outlets repeat such information without checking facts, it shows a serious lack of journalistic responsibility. As of now, anyone trying to view the official Global Times account from India will see a message saying it had been withheld following legal request. The same restriction applies to Xinhua News Agency and TRT World. The Press Information Bureau's fact-check unit has been active during the operation, flagging false visuals and misleading narratives, many of which were found to be edited or taken up from old events or straight-up lies. This development also comes amid renewed tensions between India and China. Earlier today, India issued a strong response to China's continued efforts to rename places in the Indian state of Arunachal Pradesh. Quote, "We reject such attempts categorically," said Randhir Jaiswal, spokesperson for the Ministry of External Affairs. Quote, "Creative naming will not change the fact that Arunachal Pradesh is, was, and always will be an integral part of India," unquote. China claims Arunachal Pradesh as part of its territory and has issued lists of renamed locations in the region in the past. India has consistently dismissed these efforts, calling them baseless and politically motivated. Global Times is known for its strong pro-government stance and is run under Chinese People Daily. Xinhua is China's official news agency. India's decision to block these accounts is part of its broader effort to counter online misinformation during the sensitive military operation and diplomatic disputes with the other neighboring country. After insinuating Indian Braveheart soldier as terrorist's sister, Madhya Pradesh tribal welfare minister and BJP leader Vijay Shah has said he is willing to apologize 10 times over after a public speech in which he appeared to make a communal and gendered remark about Colonel Sofia Qureshi, a senior Indian Army official who had been the face of Operation Sindoor updates and press briefings. Quote, "Sister Sofia has brought glory to India by rising above caste and religion," Shah said. Mr. Shah said, however, after facing mounting criticism. Quote, "She is more respected than our own sister. I salute her for her service to the nation. We cannot even think of insulting her in our dreams. Still, if my words have hurt society and religion, then I am ready to apologize 10 times. Unquote. The apology follows a wave of outrage after Shah, speaking at an event near Indore, referenced the Pahalgam terror attack and Operation Sindoor. In his speech, he claimed Prime Minister Narendra Modi had sent a sister from there, or the terrorist community, in an Indian Air Force aircraft to avenge the victims. Quote, "The terrorists made our sisters widows, so Modi ji sent their sister in an army plane to strip them of their pride and teach them a lesson," unquote. While he did not name Colonel Qureshi directly, the reference was widely interpreted as pointing to her, given her visible role in government briefings on Operation Sindoor alongside Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri and Wing Commander Vyomika Singh. The Congress was quick to respond, calling Shah's remark derogatory, communal and shameful. Congress President Mallikarjun Kharge posted on social media, and I quote, "A minister of the BJP government of Madhya Pradesh had made a very derogatory, shameful and cheap remark about her brave daughter Colonel Sofia Qureshi. The terrorists of Pahalgam wanted to divide the country, but the country was united during entire Operation Sindoor." Madhya Pradesh Congress Chief Jitu Patwari shared a video of Mr. Shah's speech and accused Bharatiya Janata Party of promoting hate-filled rhetoric and low thinking. He said Shah's words were not only an attack on an army officer, but also on national unity, the dignity of military and the honour of Indian women. Despite the apology, the Congress has demanded Mr. Shah's immediate removal from the cabinet. The BJP, however, has not issued a formal statement as of now on the controversy. Justice Bhushan Ramakrishna Gawai took oath as the 52nd Chief Justice of India at the ceremony held at Rashtrapati Bhavan on Tuesday. President Draupadi Murmu administered the oath, marking the beginning of Justice Gawai's tenure as the head of the country's judiciary. He succeeds Justice Sanjeev Khanna, who retired earlier this week. President Murmu, Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla, union ministers and senior members of the judiciary were present to congratulate the new Chief Justice. Former Chief Justice Sanjeev Khanna were also in attendance to extend his wishes. Justice Gawai will serve a six-month term as Chief Justice before retiring in November. He began his legal career in 1985, practicing at the Bombay High Court. He was appointed as an additional judge of the Bombay High Court in 2003 and became a permanent judge 2 years later. In 2019, he was elevated to the Supreme Court. During this time at the Apex Court, Justice Gawai has delivered nearly 300 judgments. He was a part of the Constitution bench that upheld the centre's 2016 demonetization move and also contributed to the ruling that declared electoral bonds scheme unconstitutional. Justice Gawai is the second Dalit to be appointed Chief Justice of India following Justice K.G. Balakrishnan. His father, R.S. Gawai, was a noted social activist and political leader, having served as governor of three states and a member of both Lok Sabha and Raj Sabha. R.S. Gawai also founded the Republican Party of India Gawai faction. Following the swearing-in, legal figures across the spectrum praised Justice Gawai's appointment. Senior advocate and Rajya Sabha MP Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi said, "Very pleasant court ambiance, very firm grip on proceedings, great sense of humour. Avoids operation successful, patient-died paradigms as far as possible and knows his law thoroughly. I wish he had a longer tenure." Solicitor General Tushar Mehta also welcomed the appointment. "Justice Gawai is humility personified," he said, adding, "Brilliant but humble, holding the high constitutional office but grounded, he's intellectually independent and impartial to the core." He went on to say that Justice Gawai is unpretentious and unassuming despite being one of the finest judges in the country. Has had so far, his legal acumen is without any pompous display. He has been carrying forward the true legacy of Dr. Ambedkar, Mr. Mehta added. Volodymyr Zelensky is ready to speak with Putin as long as Vladimir Putin is also ready to speak with him. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has once again expressed his willingness to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin for direct talks in Turkey despite doubts about Putin's participation. Speaking to a select group of reporters in Kyiv on Tuesday, Zelensky said the aim of the proposed summit would be to secure a ceasefire agreement, according to a Bloomberg report. Once that is in place, technical teams would be tasked with working out the details of how to implement and monitor the truce. He stated, and I quote, "We are not the side slowing down the peace negotiations," unquote. This meeting, if it happens, would mark the first time since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022 that the two leaders would meet face-to-face. According to a Bloomberg report, Zelensky confirmed he will meet Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Ankara on Thursday, with both leaders heading to Istanbul for the talk, should Putin agree to attend. However, Zelensky made it clear that if Putin does not show up, it would signal that Russia is not serious about ending war. He pointed to the lack of progress made during the previous lower-level talks, including a meeting in Saudi Arabia earlier this year. He said, and I quote, "If Putin does not come, it will be the final dot," unquote. U.S. President Donald Trump has shown interest in attending the summit, even suggesting that he might travel to Turkey for the meeting. However, Zelensky urged caution, stating Trump needs to believe that Putin is lying. The Ukrainian leader also discussed the possibility of new sanctions against Russia, saying he believes there is political will in the U.S. Congress to impose more additional economic measures. He said that more consultations on sanctions will follow in the coming days, though he did not provide much details on the same front. Zelensky described the planned sanctions as strong and very dangerous, with a focus on increasing pressure on Russia's energy and banking sectors. He also mentioned that Trump had not objected when Ukraine recently proposed a military aid package aimed at deterring further Russian aggression. Meanwhile, Russia has shown some openness to talks, with Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov stating that Moscow is ready for serious negotiations in Istanbul. However, he did not confirm whether or not Putin will attend the summit. Zelensky made it clear that if the meeting goes ahead, Ukraine will do everything it can to secure a ceasefire agreement. "We will work hard to make it happen," he said. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.